it sticking up his nose. How it got there I can't tell, but now it's there, it hurts like hell, and what is more, it radically affects my sense of smell.
His sense of smell.
I can see a bare-bottomed mandrill.
Slyly eyeing his other nostril.
If he jumps inside there too, I really won't know what to do. I'll be the proud possessor of a kind of nasal zoom.
A nasal zoom.
I've got a ferret sticking up my nose.
And what is worse, it constantly explodes.
Ferrets don't explode, you say, but it happened nine times yesterday, and I should know, 'cause each time I was standing in the way.
I got a ferret sticking up my nose. I got a ferret sticking up my nose.
Mary Maud.
And I'm Sir Reginald Mousepractice.
No, she isn't. She's Christine Rogers.
Yes.
And we're your hostesses for tonight. And now, the first item.
Good morning. Can you help me? Do you have a copy of 30 Days in the Samarkand Desert with a Spoon by A.E.J. Eliot?
Well, we haven't got it in stock, sir.
How about 101 Ways to Start a Monsoon?
By?
An Indian gentleman whose name eludes me for the moment.
Well, I don't know the book, sir.
Not to worry, not to worry. Can you help me with David Copperfield?
Yes, Dickens.
No.
I beg your
pardon? No, Edmund Wells.
I think you'll find Charles Dickens wrote David Copperfield.
No, Charles Dickens wrote David Copperfield with two P's. This is David Copperfield with one P by Edmund Wells.
Well, in that case, we don't have it.
Funny, you've got a lot of books here.
Yes, we do have quite a lot of books here. We don't have David Copperfield with one P by Edmund Wells. We only have David Copperfield with two P's by Charles Dickens.
Pity, it's more thorough than the Dickens.
More thorough?
Yes, I wonder if it's worth having a look for David Copperfield.
I'm quite sure that all our David Copperfields have two P's.
Probably, but the original by Edmund Wells also had two P's. It was after that they ran into copyright difficulties.
No, I'm quite sure that all our David Copperfields with two P's are by Charles Dickens.
But how about Great Expectations?
Yes, we have that.
That's G-R-A-T-E, Expectations. Also by Edmund Wells.
Well, in that case, we don't have it. We don't have anything by Edmund Wells, actually. He's not very popular.
Not Nicholas Nickleby? That's K-N-I-C-K-E-R. Nicholas.
No.
Christmas Carol with a Q?
No, definitely not.
Sorry to trouble you.
Not at all.
I wonder if you have a copy of Barnaby Budge.
No, as I say, we're right out of Edmund Wells.
No, not Edmund Wells, Charles Dickens.
Charles Dickens?
Yes.
You mean Barnaby Rudge?
No, Barnaby Budge by Charles Dickens. That's Dickens with two K's, the well-known Dutch author.
No, no, we don't have Barnaby Budge by Charles Dickens with two K's, the well-known Dutch author. And perhaps to save time, I should add right away that we don't have Carnaby Fudge by Dahl's Dickens or Stickwick Stapers by Miles Pickens with four M's and a silent Q. Why don't you try the chemist?
I have. They sent me here.
Did they?
I wonder if you have the Amazing Adventures of Captain Gladys Stoke pamphlet and her intrepid spaniel Stig among the giant pygmies of Corsica, volume 2.
No, no, we don't have that one. Funny, we've got quite a lot of books here.
Yes, haven't you?
Well, I mustn't keep you standing around all day chatting then. No, no, we haven't. No, we're closing for lunch now.
Well, I thought I saw it over there.
Where?
Over there.
What?
Olsen's Standard Book of British Birds.
Olsen's Standard Book of British Birds?
Yes.
O-L-S-E-N?
Yes.
B-I-R-D-S?
Yes.
Yes, well, we do have that one.
The expurgated version, of course.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
The expurgated version.
The expurgated version of Olsen's Standard Book of British Birds?
Yes, the one without the gannet.
The one without the gannet? Well, they've all got the gannet. It's a standard British bird, the gannet. It's in all the books.
Well, I don't like them. No nasty beaks.
Well, you can't expect them to produce a special edition for gannet haters.
Well, I'm sorry. I especially want the one without the gannet.
All right. Anything else?
Well, I'm not too keen on robins.
Right, robins, robins, robins. No gannets, no robins. There's your book.
I can't buy that. It's torn.
It's torn. So it is.
I wonder if you've got...
Go on, ask me another. We've got lots of books here. This is a bookshop, you know.
How about Biggles Combs His Hair?
No, 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 you don't have that one. No, no, funny. Try me again.
Have you got Ethel the Aardvark Goes Quantity Surveying?
No, 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 we haven't. Which one?
Ethel the Aardvark Goes Quantity Surveying.
Ethel the Aardvark? I've seen it. We've got it. We've got it, someone. Ethel the Aardvark. Yeah! Ethel the Aardvark Goes Quantity Surveying. There! Now, buy it.
I haven't got enough money on me.
I'll take a deposit.
I haven't got any money on me.
I'll take a cheque.
I haven't got a cheque
book. It's all right, I've got a bank one.
I don't have a bank account.
Right! I'll buy it for you. There we are, there's your change. That's for that taxi on the way home.
Wait!
What?
I can't read.
You can't read?
No.
Right, sit! Ethel the Aardvark was trotting down the lane one lovely summer day. Quantity, quantity, quant, when she saw quantity somewhere.
I'm not comfortable.
So much for Ethel the Aardvark Goes Quantity Surveying. That was fun, wasn't it?
Yes.
And now...
The next item.
Well, good morning from the National Sheepdog Trials at Tillerton. We've had a fascinating morning here watching these truly intelligent dogs perform complex tasks guided only by the whistles of their masters. Now, I have with me Mr. Lee. Good morning, Mr. Lee.
Bah! Oh, you mean good morning.
Mr. Lee, I believe you've been a shepherd now for over 40 years.
Oh, no. No, no, no. I've been a shepherd now for over 35 years. 68 years I've been a shepherd now. Man and boy, not in that order, of course. I was a boy first, man later on.
Yeah. If you could have your time all over again, would you still be a shepherd?
Oh, no. No, no. I'd like to do something interesting. I'd like to be something interesting, like being a shepherd.
A what?
Like being a shepherd.
But you are a shepherd.
So I am. Looky old me.
If you must have trained many sheepdogs.
Oh, yes.
How many?
Oh, well over two.
Over two? Well, 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 two. Well, how do you train the dogs?
Well, that's very simple. We use a little kindness and a lot of cruelty.
Oh. But you have to be cruel to the dogs.
Oh, yes, very cruel. Very cruel indeed. I'm surprised it's allowed.
Yes.
Really nasty.
Yes.
And shocking. And sadistic we are with them.
Oh. And the dogs drive the sheep.
The dogs drive the sheep into the pen. It's known as filling your pen. Ha ha ha! Shepherd's joke! Shepherd's joke, that! Shepherd's joke!
And how...
Very funny, too.
Yes. How do they drive the sheep?
You are a nosy old turnip, aren't you? Well, I tell you, old dear. The dogs bark at the sheep, then they crawls up to them on their bellies, then they notice them with their noses, then they bury their fangs in them.
And then the dogs herd the sheep into the pen.
Ah, sometimes the sheep drive them into the pen and then the dogs just sit there looking embarrassed and everyone laughs at them. And I laugh at them too, I think it's very funny. My wife, she thinks it's funny.
Does she really?
She's got a great sense of humour, my
wife. I'd like
wife.
To meet her sometime.
Ever since her accident.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Funny woman. Yes, how many sheep dogs have you?
It is a secret. I'm not telling you, it is a most holy secret that cannot and must not be divulged. Two.
Oh. Hey, you have two dogs.
You have two dogs?
Yes.
Where are they now?
Oh, well, one of them's over now. Where is he? Oh, over there by that pile of dead sheep. Magnificent brute, treacherous to a fault. Just has this little weakness for mutton.
Oh. Do the dogs kill the sheep?
Only in fun. So, after last bitten, burying them in the ground and pulling their heads off. It's more humane.
Yes, well, perhaps you could get your dogs to give us a demonstration.
Oh, you don't need the dogs for that. You just bury the sheep in the
ground. No, could you get the dogs to drive the sheep into the pen?
Well, I've only got old Butcher here at the moment. I don't know where Crippin's gone to. He must be off after the judges. He senses they're his natural enemies.
Well, could you just put Butcher through his paces, then?
All right, well, I'll get him to drive that sheep into that pen over there. Right.
Surely Mr. Lee shouldn't be... Mr. Lee, what is he doing? Mr. Lee, surely you shouldn't be eating that sheep.
You took a mess.
Oh, goodness me, how awful. Oh, this is embarrassing.
Stop that, you thieving cur. I'll tear you apart with me bare hands.
Ah, look at that. Swear he understands every word I say. Ah.
What a horrid shepherd.
Where were you on the evening of the 14th of July?
Why?
Well, I waited up all night for you and you never came home.
Good morning.
Huh?
Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. I suppose you read quite a lot then.
Oh, what?
I suppose you read quite a lot then.
Oh, yes, quite a lot. Quite
how about The Wonderful World of the Ant?
The what?
The Wonderful World of the Ant. Have you read it?
No.
Oh!
Why, is it good?
Good!
Well, what's so good about it?
Did you know?
What?
Did you know that the average ant, Johnny Ant, has a brain 12 times the size of his own head? No. Human brain. 12 times bigger than the human brain. Relatively speaking. Furthermore, he can carry a burden 3,000 times his own weight. Fantastic.
3,000 times his own weight?
Yeah, 3,000 times his own weight. Fantastic.
That is fantastic.
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 Oh, wait a moment. 3 times his own weight. He can carry a burden 3 times his own weight. Fantastic.
3 times his own weight?
Yeah.
That's not fantastic.
Oh, it isn't, is it? Still, this means that 4 ants can carry a burden 12 times their own weight. Say, a bowl. A small bowl, several yards. Relatively speaking, further than you and I, for example, could carry a cow. 50,000 of them, say, could carry a cow further than you and I could carry Paddington Station. How about that?
Go away.
Another thing. Ah! Do you know what that is?
No, and I don't care.
I'll tell you what it is.
No.
Then. Have a guess, then.
No.
All right, I'll do it again.
No.
Now have a guess.
I don't know.
That is the mating call of a worker ant. Actually, it goes... but magnified 1,000 times... Whereas the queen ant, which is 100 times larger, goes...
No, people are looking. No.
How about that?
Please leave me alone.
What's this then?
I don't know.
What's this then?
I don't know.
Go on, do it.
Now I feel silly.
Go on, do it. It's easy.
Please don't make me...
All right, guess what it is then?
An ant.
Good, it's an ant. What's he doing?
I don't know what he's doing.
He's signalling.
What?
He's signalling. He's signalling. He's saying, give us an ant with this small bowl.
He's what?
He's saying, give us an ant with this small bowl.
Wait a minute.
What?
How do you know he's saying, give us an ant with this small bowl? I mean, he's so specific.
Yeah, come on, ladies, give us an ant with this small bowl.
How do you know he's saying, give us an ant with this small bowl?
Well, I don't know. It might be anything.
You what?
It might be anything.
Who what?
Well, I'm not a bloody ant, am I? How should I know what a bloody ant says? Who cares what a bloody ant says?
Well, you brought it up in the first place.
Shut up, I'll eat you! That is the death cry of a worker ant. Now, you do it.
No.
Yes, go on, do it. Rotten! Rotten! What a rotten death cry of a worker ant! Rotten! Rotten! That's how it is. Whereas a queen ant, which is 1,000 times larger, goes... You do it. That's it. That's quite good. Well done.
Jimmy Finton went to Swinton in a railway fish. She fell in a hurry into a poor car and never went on his way.
Anyway, the goat recovered, but the bishop... Oh.
Dolly girl, now you're probably all wondering who I am.
No.
Now, well, I'm Mr. Brightwell, and I bought this farm with lots of money. You do know money, do you? Well, I've bought this farm, and it seems that you three come with it. It's all down here somewhere. 300 chickens, pigs, 4 outhouses. Reuben, Dan, and Willem, that must be you. Well, from now onwards, I'm going to be in charge here, so if you have any little problems, do bring them along to me.
Service here, I'll take them boy down your 4-acre Stensbury Way in a maidle.
Our maidle, piglet, Bessie's litter, Adam, crowd, a trot, a mess on.
I'm awfully sorry, I didn't quite catch all
that. Reuben of Woodham is just saying as how one of the piglets down the 4-acre done her trotter, sir.
Oh, poor little thing. Will she have to be destroyed? I mean, she won't be much good for racing now, will she?
Sure. In being a race, will Grundle spurred it, your buddle spurred it?
And let me fatter right up the barn on the end of
you.
Saying as how you don't race pigs, sir.
Oh, don't you, Aaron? How awfully silly. I'm afraid I'm a bit ignorant in these matters.
Ignore him and buy him Trudel more stoop than a pot McClute.
Reuben says as how he quite understands, sir, and you can rely on us.
I spend it. Would you tell him I'm very grateful?
Mars is saying he's Trudel Grenell.
Him Grenell, him two cattle stinkle dunes. Some derm Grenell.
What did he do that for?
It is a sign of friendship, this part of the
country. Reuben.
Oh, you scream, he's burning right up his path, Mrs. Sweevely, City Gurney.
Sweevely, Reuben, Sweevely, and Barn and Worthrop.
He didn't seem to like that.
He'll be all right, sir. It is just not used to strangers, sir. Now, would you like to give us our orders, sir?
Orders? Yes, orders. Well, I've written one or two little things down here. I want you to do. I want you to mow the corn and shear the piglets.
How was that, sir?
Well, that sort of thing, anyway. No? Well, what should we be doing on the farm this month? It is March, and that's got an R in it. I don't know if that's any sort of guide.
No, it isn't.
Well, shouldn't you be spreading that stuff? Muck.
Oh, no. We spread the potassium triphosphoxy nitroacetate, sir. I'm boodle sperm doodle fleet. He's Adam Arbor's dentures, mate.
Good God, what was that?
It is an old country saying, sir. When the soil's manganese beryllium ratio bait too great, spread the potassium triphosphoxy nitroacetate. I'm bound to murder, sir, and grovel the bats, bound to murder, sir.
I'm very good at that.
Now, about the livestock, sir. You're going to milk the turnips and stack the chickens and plant the sheep, sir.
Oh, Spenny, well, you know where to find me if you need me.
Get wordled, you grebe old tarbot.
Tarbot?
It is a term of affection, sir.
Oh, that is nice. I've only been here one day and you're already calling me an old tarbot. I'm very, very flattered.
Yeah, sir, well, we'd best be going now, sir. If you want us, sir, we'll be down mucking out the pigsty. But if you come down there, you best wear your Wellington boots.
Wellington boots.
It is up to your ankles in tarbot.
Adder's fork and blind worm sting, lizard's leg and howlet's wing, eye of newt and toe of frog, wool of bat and tongue of dog.
And follow?
Just
follow. How spooky. And now for something completely different.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Top of the Form. And this evening we're at the semi-final stage, and tonight's contest is between the boys of the King Arthur's Grammar School Podbury and the girls of the St. Maria Kangaroo Boot the Second County High School and a Half. And so, without further ado, let's go straight on with round two. David, what is the name we give to the meat we get from pigs?
Pork.
Good. Well, that's 2 marks to you. Marcia, what is the name of the metal alloy we get from zinc and copper?
Brass?
No, I'm afraid not. The answer's pork. Malcolm, what is the capital of Australia?
Sydney.
No, well, I can see you're not going to get this one. The capital of Australia is pork. Sinon, who wrote The Tale of Two Cities?
Pork.
Good, that's 2 marks to you. And so on to Stig's question. Stig, what was the date of Captain Cook's discovery of Australia?
Pork.
Good, 2 marks. And the last question of this round to you, Lust. Can you quote the first 2 lines of Thomas Gray's elegy written in a country?
Pork.
Good, 2 to you. And the score at the end of round 2, please, Joan Sharp.
will the school again. One. The boys of the King Arthur's Grammar School, Bodbury, 3. The girls of the Mildon Hall Grain Boiling Institute, Salmon Tooth, 4.
Thank you, Joan, and so on to round one. Tell the difference. David, what is the difference between a monsoon and a mongoose?
A monsoon is a long plastic pole you hang out of windows at an angle to keep the birds away. And a mongoose is a box you lock books up in for Easter.
No, I can only give you a half for that. But I can offer it to you, Marcia.
Pork?
No, you're guessing, aren't you? Well, a monsoon is a wind, and a mongoose isn't. Well, that's quite enough of that round. And the score, please, Joan Shock.
Oh, well, at the end of round, the score is the boys of the Long John Silver Accountancy School, 7, and the girls of Dr. Barnforth's Frog Trampling Institution, 92.
Thank you, Joan. And round 3, and butterflies. And the first question on butterflies to you, Malcolm. What is the capital of Iraq?
Red Admiral.
No.
Cabbage White.
No.
Swallowtail.
No. The answer is Baghdad. I'm afraid you were on the wrong track there. Next question to you, Thanor. You have the next question, Thanor.
Could I have that question again, please?
Certainly. No, this is a trick question, Thanor. So think carefully. What is the capital of Australia?
Canberra.
No, the answer is, of course, Ottawa, the capital of Canada. That was the trick part of the question. I caught you napping there, Thanog, but I can offer it once again to you, Joan Sharp.
Ottawa!
Good, that's 2 points to you, Joan. Now, Stig, what is the capital of North Korea?
Pyongyang.
Yes, but I'm not giving you any marks for that because nobody likes a clever dick. The last question to you, Lust. Lust, who put marzipan in Joan Shark's knickers?
I did.
Oh, well done. Well, that's 2-0. 4 marks to you. And the final score, please, Joan Shark.
Well, the final score, the boys of Eton College, 1, and the girls of the Wilfrid Mouse Pasty School of Guerrilla Warfare, 9. And I've got 22. So, schools, 3 cheers for me. Hip, hip. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
And so Joan Shark is the winner. Well done, Joan. And next week she'll be meeting Franklin Engelman in the final.
Another lovely slice. I'm not disparaging the blueberry pie, but rhubarb tart is oh so very nice.
A rhubarb tart, a rhubarb tart, a rhubarb tart, a rhubarb tart. I want another slice of rhubarb tart.
The principles of modern philosophy were postulated by Descartes. Discarding everything he wasn't certain of, he said, I think, therefore I am a rhubarb tart.
A rhubarb what?
A rhubarb tart.
René, who?
René Descartes.
For months he thought he was a rhubarb tart.
A rhubarb tart has fascinated all the poets, especially the immortal bard. He made Richard III call out at Bosworth Field, my kingdom for a slice of rhubarb tart.
Immortal what?
Immortal tart.
A rhubarb what?
A rhubarb tart.
And rhymes go that is really pretty much.
since Wassily, Kandinsky, and Paul Klee lay down the axioms of abstract art. Even Jackson Pollock and Pete Mondrian prefer to paint a slice of rhubarb tart. Wassily, Hooper, Wassily, Kandin, Hooper, Kandinsky, and how can he get in there for a start? Read all the existentialist philosophers like Schopenhauer and Jean-Paul Sartre. Even Martin Heidegger agrees on one thing: eternal happiness is rhubarb tart.
A rhubarb what?
A rhubarb tart.
Jean-Paul Hooper, Jean-Paul Sartre.
That sounds just like a rhyme from Lionel Bart.